the sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. And he went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction among the people. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What was Jesus doing? What was the purpose of Jesus traveling around the countryside, traveling around Galilee? The scripture tells us in word and deed, Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what was the substance of his teaching? The substance of his teaching was that in a new way, God was breaking into history. God was coming into the world. God is linking the right now to what is on the horizon, the last day. God's breaking into history means that the Messiah has come in the flesh, and what God is doing through the Messiah is saving people from their sins. Jesus is not only forgiving people's sins, but he is saving them from the sins also. Repent. Confess your sins. Receive the absolution. As stated earlier by Jesus in the text, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God has broken into history in a mighty way, and through his Son, he is issuing a wonderful call to all of humanity. Move from sin and unbelief to repentant faith and salvation. Who is bringing salvation? Who is bringing this salvation? The Savior is bringing the only salvation that will avail for you on the last day when the Savior returns in all his glory. We are looking forward to that last day. It's what Jesus is pointing to with his teaching and his preaching and his healing. In the healing of the sick and the lame and the crippled and later in the raising of the dead, Jesus is saying this: sin has poisoned all of creation. Jesus is saying he has come to drive Satan back. The healings that Jesus effected were evidence of his authority over sin and his power to bind up the wounded and broken creation. Sin brought physical pain and death, emotional and mental anguish into the world. Jesus overcomes all of them, healing all human fractures and breaks that find their origin in sin and Satan. It's like the healing of the paralytic. What does the Jesus tell the paralytic? The man was brought to Jesus, lying on a mat, a drop through the ceiling. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Scandal. Oh my gosh. You can hear the people mumbling in the back of the room, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Only God can forgive sins. If they weren't mumbling it, they were certainly thinking it. And Jesus says to them, which is easier to do, to say to him, your sins are forgiven, or to take up your mat, walk, and go home? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, young man, take up your mat, walk, and go home. If you ever run across somebody who says, Jesus never claimed to be God, right here, right there, right in that instant, Jesus is saying to everyone present, I am God. I forgive sins. I restore and heal the creation. The evidence that is given that he has the authority to forgive sins is that he told the man, walk. The word of creation, the word of God that made things appear, speaks to the man, and every bone and sinew and every piece of muscle that was debilitated in this man was fixed instantaneously. And he got up, he took his mat, he rolled it up, and he went home. Jesus plants his flag in the ground. I'm God. I fix sin. I'll fix broken creation. However, you did run into a little problem with this. You see, people became enamored with the miracles. Like at the feeding of the 5,000. When the people saw what Jesus had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." And perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew to a desolate place. They were going to make Jesus into a bread king. Feed us, clothe us, give us everything. And that wasn't what Jesus had come for. Jesus had come to fix creation, to heal those who were broken by sin, to pay the price of sin in the world. He will suffer and die because of the sins of the world. It's not about the miracles. It is about the message that the miracles point to. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life is what we are mostly concerned about. It's like Paul is expressing in 1 Corinthians. What is going on in 1 Corinthians? You know, I've said this before, but I wish that we had the letters people wrote to Paul, lining out the problems they were facing. And then Paul would write his answer back. We don't have that, but we can tell that people are having it out in the congregation. Shocker, have you ever met a congregation that got along perfectly? Even in the first century, in the first congregations, people were having issues back and forth. Which teacher do you follow? The congregation wasn't shredded yet, but there were tears in the fabric of the congregational life. The message of salvation had been superseded by a cult of personality. The members of the congregation, though, should not let their attachment to their favorite leaders tear at the congregation any further. Instead, they should be mended. One would say, "I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Cephas. No, I follow Christ." Paul abolishes all of that. Binds them, stitches and sews them together in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul lays claim to even his own lack of eloquence. So apparently Paul was super smart, but he wasn't slick by any stretch of the imagination. It's the message, not the messenger. Salvation and salvation identity. And remember, in these days of people grasping in their darkness of their darkened world to find out what their identity is and how they can show forth their identity, remember that your identity is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Your salvation identity is connected to the identity of Jesus Christ. You are baptized into Jesus' name. You are a child of the Heavenly Father and an heir of eternal life. That is your identity. That is who you are as a person. You are a Christian. Our identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. And there is no indication in our text anywhere that Jesus intended for us to have a cult of personality around Him. It's amazing, isn't it? God in His wisdom decided that there should be no pictures of Jesus anywhere. No paintings, no drawings. We have no idea what He looked like. And in the imaginations of my head, I figure it's like this. Somebody in their infinite wisdom will go, "Well, if Jesus had a beard that long, we've got to have beards that long. And if Jesus had a haircut like this, we got to have a haircut like this." And it would go on and on and on, and they would miss the message of salvation for other things that didn't matter and were unimportant to the message of the gospel. Isaiah describes the Messiah in this way. "He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, no beauty that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was laid the chastisement that brought us peace, and by His wounds we are healed. And that is what is important about the Messiah, the message, and the mission. What He did for us in our place. Christ did not win people over by being smooth or charming, but honest and forthright in His care and cure of their souls. Did He preach with authority? Yes, He did. After casting out an unclean spirit, it is recorded by St. Mark that the people were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey Him." And at once His fame spread throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. The point, it's not about Jesus' celebrity, but it is all about the glad tidings of the gospel that He is preaching. God is acting in history. Repent now. Believe the Messiah. Believe Messiah is the payment for sins. Receive His forgiveness and henceforth amend your sinful life. Jesus is preaching and teaching. The cross and His resurrection stand upon our horizon. He preaches with the authority of the cross in view. We see that authority and we look for our own resurrection. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, there have been many men who have filled the pulpit here at Zion Lutheran Church. Pastors Neitzel, Goldberger, Carnahan, Adam, myself, and numerous others that go back way beyond the living memory of anyone seated here in this room today. The people in the pews have had opinions as varied as the sand on the seashore, but pastor and layman alike here at Zion Lutheran Church have all stood and stood under the shadow of the cross. Let this congregation be varied, yes, but let this congregation always be brothers and sisters in Christ, all pointing to the cross and through the cross to the horizon on which stands the day of Christ's return, pointing to the last day. Calling out repentance and forgiveness in Christ is our purpose. It is our calling, calling us all to eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are bodies and souls knit together as God intended in the mission and the ministry of this congregation and the ministry and mission of the people here in this place. All of our members is to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. All of history is rushing down the highway to that day. The date is unknown, but the day will come. It is surely known that the day will come, and it cannot be ignored. It cannot be downplayed. We know Jesus will return in glory. As for now, as for today, Jesus Christ is still breaking into history through the preaching of His word and the administration of His sacraments. The reign of heaven is among us even as we speak. God is present to save and to judge. The cry of the church goes out at both one and the same time. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus has come to save, and in His blood and in His resurrection is the forgiveness of all of our sins. And it is a gift free of charge to us. The gift is available to all right up until the moment we see Jesus return from the heavens in glory for our final redemption. Repent and believe in Jesus. And all God's people cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come swiftly." Amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.